Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Sometimes God uses our most difficult moments to draw us closer to Him. Only then do we experience what it means to have a breakthrough. When we try to do things on our own, it can get frustrating. And instead of progress, eventually we digress. Have you digressed before? I have. But when we surrender to the Lord, we find ourselves suddenly, over the course of time, repositioned to a place where our growth potential is beyond what we could think. Our guest today knows what it's like to face challenges in life, in business, as a father and husband. He also knows what it's like to surrender to the Lord and to feel the relief and then be in awe of what God is able to do. My friend, today, is it your time to surrender to God? Is it your time to lay all your burdens before Him and say, I'm tired, I'm weary, Lord, help me, help me? That's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Jesus. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever challenge, however discouraged you might feel at this moment, there is hope. Hope in the Lord. He who died on the cross for our sins, who shed His precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away, yours and mine. He shed His blood on that cross, and then He was buried and rose again on the third day. And that's why we celebrate, we worship the living Lord Jesus. We love and honor Him because the living Christ still moves in people's lives, like mine and my guests, and like He can and will move in your life. Open your heart to Christ. Would you do it? Steve Klein was born in a small town in Wisconsin. At the age of 13, he started using drugs on a daily basis. He decided to move to Hawaii at the age of 15 and attended Kaiser High School. A year later, he decided to turn his life over to Christ. Then he fell away 2 years later. He attended UH and graduated with a degree in fine arts. He got married, had two kids, and decided to open a small business, which did not do well. As a result, he hit a point of desperation, which he'll share with us about that. But God sent someone to minister to him, which ultimately led to rededicating his life to Christ. He went back to school to get a teaching degree, and then felt called to become a pastor. He's been a part of Hope Chapel Kaneohe and also the men's pastor for 7 years at Hope Chapel Ko'olau, at Hope Chapel Olomana with Pastor Guy Capelliella. And he's now answered the call to plant Hope Chapel Ko'olau in Aikahi. He works for the University of Hawaii's College of Education in the Special Education Department. He's married to Hiroko. They have two children, Kai and Moana. Steve, Pastor Steve, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
So, Wisconsin. Describe what it was like growing up in Wisconsin.
Well, it was very idyllic. As you said, it was a small town. There's about 3,000 people. We lived a very isolated life. We didn't know anything really of crime or anything like that. It was just a very... now, it doesn't mean our home was perfect, but the area is like a Leave It to Beaver or a Andy Griffith kind of environment. Mm-hmm. that we grew up in. So it was very protected, very safe. As I said, didn't mean our family didn't have problems, but it was kind of a real safe environment to grow up in.
What was the name of the town?
It's called Pewaukee.
Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
What was your favorite food growing up there in Pewaukee, Wisconsin?
And that's a good question. In the summertime, there's farms all around. It's since developed more, but there's farms all around. And so they were selling bushels of vegetables for a dollar. So you could get tomatoes or ears of corn or cucumber. So those fresh vegetables were a lot of what we remember eating as a kid. They were just in abundance and easy to get. And I guess it seems strange as a kid to like that. But when I think back of the childhood, that's the thing that we enjoyed eating quite a lot.
How did your mom prepare the vegetables?
You know, she would just heat them up, I guess, cook them. But we also, a big thing, because it was winter there, you have several months of winter. So she would spend a long time every summer canning and freezing vegetables so we could eat them, you know, these fresh fruits and vegetables, we could eat them still during the winter months. So she would spend a long time in the summer doing that. It was a big, big job to do that.
So you came to Hawaii at the age of 15, but at the age of 13, you started a certain kind of habit. What describe to us what happened?
Well, you know, because it's a small town, there's not much to do. And so recreational drugs actually was very common. And I didn't have much direction in life for various reasons. My dad worked very hard. He had his own business. He wasn't around much. And I think at that formative age, I really needed his influence, and not by design, but it just wasn't there. And other influences came into my life who were doing drugs. And so because I was adrift, I kind of got caught into that stream, and I embraced it. I mean, I just went with it full force. You know, some people dabble in it, but I just jumped in head first. And once I started, I did it full on every day in some way for 3 years. I just started doing drugs in whatever form I could get my hands on.
How did you get the resources to do that?
Well, that's a good question. I'd work if I could, but if I couldn't do that, I would steal. I mean, I definitely got good at shoplifting. I stole from my family. My brother had a coin collection, and we shared a room, and I slowly began to steal those, hoping he wouldn't notice. He had them put away, and so he didn't check them often. So I would steal. I'd do whatever I had to do, whatever it took. I just, nothing was out of the question to do that.
You see yourself gradually going to a certain place of desperation in life, doing things, risking even the sacred trust of family. But you don't speak of that in a vacuum. You're not in isolation. There are people all over the place who could concur with that experience. Some are in the middle of it right now. Some are in the middle of it and are listening to you share that. So you come to Hawaii, still a teen. How did you come? Why Hawaii? And what brought you here?
Good question. Well, first of all, I'll tell you that I had no interest in moving to Hawaii. I was actually at a party at a friend's house one night, and my sister showed up there too, and she said, our dad said we're moving to Hawaii, which I didn't believe at all. But about a month later, it actually happened. Now, my dad never gave us a reason why he did that, but I can only assume it was because we have six kids. And four of us at that time were involved in drugs and getting into trouble. That was my freshman year of high school. I had gotten suspended three times, and they had told me if it happens again, I'm expelled. And I live in this little town with only one high school, so if that happened, I mean, it would have been major trouble. And I think my dad didn't know what else to do other than to get us out of that environment and try someplace new. And so I think that was his solution to try and solve a lot of the problems that were happening with his kids. He knew he couldn't do it there. So he said, I'm going to pick up my family and move to a new environment and try do that and see if that fixes things.
you get here and you adjust to a new school, Kaiser High School. What was the transition like?
Well, for me, it was quite shocking. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was one of those people who thought the people in Hawaii live in grass shacks. You know, I mean, a total stereotypical view of Hawaii. And I went from a tiny little town in a tiny high school to Kaiser, which at that time there was hundreds in my class alone, not just the school. And so it was quite a transition. I adjusted with difficulty. I remember being at the bus stop and this guy asked me for a quarter to ride the bus, but he was speaking pidgin. And at the time, I couldn't understand even what he was saying. So, I mean, it was a huge transition to go from a tiny little town isolated to Honolulu, which is much, much bigger and much more diverse culturally. So it was quite a challenge for me at the time.
It's I would imagine it would be hard to understand if somebody is asking you for a quarter and you only know it as porter. Well, Steve, things continue to develop as you are here in Hawaii. Besides, you know, learning the culture, being, it's almost like you're in a way transfixed because you're from, you know, the big mainland, but you come to a small island. But your big mainland was a very small town, and you come to a place where there's, you know, numerous high schools. You're coming to it seems like a city environment. But it's a different culture altogether, too, with mixed cultures that make it that culture. We call it a melting pot. At some point, the Lord came to he came to you, and he became a part of your life. He sent someone. I want to get to that when we come back from our break. It's a fascinating journey to hear someone from Wisconsin to Hawaii. Now he's the pastor of Hope Chapel Ko'olau in Aikahi. Between then and now, he's got his degrees, he's gotten his training, he's been a part of some very dynamic church ministries. He's been a pastor for men at his last church, Hope Chapel Olomana. He's married. He has two children. They're now grown into young adulthood. But when you get a person like that with a wealth of life experience who comes and is willing to share how Christ took him through some really low moments, you know you're going to get something out of it. And you will. Stay with us. We'll be back with Steve Klein.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ever hear about, or maybe you've experienced it yourself, you fall in love, you get married, and then your spouse becomes a believer in Christ, and they go full force into their dedication to the Lord. They've been so moved, and you say, hey, what happened? You know, that wasn't part of the deal when we got married, and all of a sudden, there's another person in our life who you call the Lord of your life, and you want him to be the Lord of our life, and that's a whole new thing. If you've ever experienced that, then you will relate with our guest today. He'll share a little bit about that as we go along. My name is Danny Yamashiro, and you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And I'm here with Steve Klein. Pastor Klein is the senior pastor of Hope Chapel Ko'olau in Aikahi. To find out more about Hope Chapel Ko'olau, visit hcko'olau.org. hcko'olau.org. Before our break, he mentioned, shared, opened up about being on drugs as a teen. Then he comes to Hawaii. It's a shock. 15 years old, a major transition in his life. But then he was going to encounter the person of Jesus Christ. Steve, take us back. How did you become a Christian?
Well, as I told you, I mean, for 3 years, from 13 to 16, I did drugs every day. And drugs is it's a cruel master, really. I didn't see it that way at the time, but it alienated me from my close relationships, my family. I didn't really care about other people. That was my purpose in life, to do drugs. And at one point, I can't really say for sure how it happened. It seems like we did acid with a friend of mine, interestingly enough, ironically, this friend, his name is Daniel Koh. He's now the head of Youth for Christ here in Hawaii. Hmm. But back then we were doing drugs together. But at some point, something strange happened. I crossed a line through drugs and through my attitude. And I felt some type of dark presence within me. Now, I didn't believe in any of this stuff, but I couldn't deny that this was taking place. And within my own self, I felt an oppression, as though there was another personality or some other force within me, suppressing within me my own self and kind of taking over. So it's very strange. I can't explain it. I see it now as probably a demonic influence within me. But that scared the heck out of me, to the point that, as I said, I didn't believe in God. I scoffed at people who believed in God. But I got down on my knees and I prayed the night that happened. And I just prayed, Thou our Father. I didn't know what else to pray. And quite honestly, I didn't believe God would answer, but I was desperate. I didn't know what else to do. And much to my surprise, I felt a response that God did respond to me. And there was hope then. I was in darkness. I was seriously considering killing myself because I didn't know how to deal with this internal thing inside of me. How do you get rid of that? I was depressed. I was oppressed. So to take my life, if God didn't answer, was my plan. but God didn't answer somehow. I sensed he was there, and I had hope, and I knew I had to stop the drugs. So from that day on, I just stopped. I remember sitting at the bus stop at Kaiser High School waiting for the bus, and a joint was being passed around, and I kind of reluctantly took one hit. That was my habit. But I knew I shouldn't do that, and from that point, I didn't do any drugs because I just knew that's what God wanted from me. I didn't know anything about God, but I knew that. He didn't want me to do drugs anymore. And at that point, I was willing to do whatever God told me to do because I was in a desperate situation.
You use the word desperation. Desperation is very uncomfortable. Nobody wants to go through that or feel it. But sometimes God uses that to catapult us to a place where we become much more aware of him and aware of the hope that can be found in him. Did the Lord send someone into your life at that particular point as you've called out to God?
He did. What happened was I had grown up Catholic, and so I also felt like I should go to church. And so at Holy Trinity in Hawaii Kai, they had a 5 o'clock service in the afternoon, and I went. And back then I had long hair and I didn't wear shoes, and I kind of looked like a druggie, you know. And I went to church, and there's a bunch of little old ladies and the priest, and I'm sure they're wondering, what the heck is this guy doing here? But I was just desperately looking for God. And there was a priest there. I told him, tried to explain my situation. He connected me with a guy named Charles Tremontozzi, a young man who went to church. He said, call him up and talk to him. So I called up Charles Tremontozzi. I told him my situation. You know, I did drugs. I need something. I need God. And he said, okay, meet me at Saturday afternoon, Kaiser High School. I'll pick you up. So we made these arrangements. He picked me up, took me to his home in Kalama Valley, sat down on the floor of his bedroom. He proceeded to tell me the gospel, which I'd never heard before. But I'd gone to church, but I'd never heard it like this before, explaining how God made the world. Adam and Eve, he made it good. They sinned. And God's response to sin, sending Jesus to die for sin, so anybody who wants to can be forgiven. And he said, do you want to do that? And it's like God had been leading me for months. I didn't realize it to that point. So when he asked me that question, I was like, yeah, I want that. I couldn't wait. That was the thing that I was looking for. So I prayed a prayer right then. He guided me in the sinner's prayer. I prayed that. And as I told you, I had that darkness inside of me. And it's like I was flooded with light at that moment. It's hard to describe, but I was just filled, like I was cleansed. All that darkness, all that sin, all those violations of what I knew was right that I had committed, I was set free from. I was literally a new creation. I was born again. I experienced it in that moment. I didn't understand it, but for me, it was a radical transformation in that moment. I know for some, it's a gradual thing. Mine was instantaneous, going from extreme darkness to extreme light.
The simple presentation of that message, the gospel message. So you open your heart to Christ. You experience this, the light of the Lord. And what happened after that?
Well, I got heavy into church. There was a youth group at somebody's home near New Valley Intermediate. There was people, a family at Kaiser who opened up their home, and I would go to that. There was somebody mentoring me, a man named Steve McPeak, who lived there, was going to UH. He's from the Big Island. He's still there. But he mentored me in this family, the Kennedy family, mentored me, and I started to grow. But, you know, even though I became a Christian and was set free from drugs, there was a lot of stuff God still had to work out within me. And so I wasn't perfect. I did stop the drugs and I was a new person, but God still had a lot of things to work out in me. But I struggled with a lot of things in the church. I saw hypocrisy, and, you know, phony people. And, you know, it also became an excuse on my part. I used that to excuse my own bad behavior. I never went back to drugs or anything like that. But what really happened was I came to a point where I feared God wanted me to be a missionary. And so I just ran away. I just said, that's it. I'm out of here. Because I didn't want to respond to that call. I'm not sure if that's really what he had in mind, but I just ran away. I wanted to be free from that. I didn't want to go back to the drugs, but I felt like God wanted too much from me, and I wasn't ready to give that yet.
There's nothing quite like an honest assessment and an honest reflection, which is what you're sharing and giving to us. Now, it's one of the things that I think is most admirable for people who are really walking with the Lord, that there's a dignity in honesty and a freedom, because you realize that that's the best place to be, and then that's where God really works in our lives. When you're listening to Steve, I wonder if, as he talks about various parts of his life, that there's some points of connection. Are you at a place where perhaps at this moment you have felt that dark oppression? Like when he was at the point of his own desperation with drugs, that darkness inside of him, feeling so lost and hopeless that you think about ending your own life. Has that occurred to you? Has that been a pervading thought? Has it overwhelmed you? Have you made plans? Well, God clearly sent Steve to remind you, no, there is hope in that situation, and that's not the answer. The answer is in Christ. I'm going to ask Steve to pray in a few moments as we continue on with our show. And I want you to stay with us, listen, because the Lord has more to share with you about what he wants to do in and through your life, because you are here for a purpose. You are alive. However far you've gone, however lost you are alive today because God has a purpose. Pastor Steve will pray. But also, have you ever, as we say, backslid or gone the way where you know you shouldn't go, even after you've dedicated yourself to the Lord? Well, he's here to give us hope even with that. Christ's hope for you today. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Steve Klein.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So you reach the crossroads in life. You have to make a decision because, hey, look, you're running away from God. I'm just talking about our guests. He talked about not wanting to go on the mission field. He felt that God may call. He wasn't sure, but he said, hey, you know what? I don't want to do that. So he moves into a place where he's sort of in the no man's land of faith. He's living his own life. He hasn't gone back to his old way of life, which was a life just smattered with drugs, and it almost smattered his life. The Lord rescued him from that, but he's in this no man's land place. We get there sometimes, don't you think? Have that been a part of your experience before? The no man's land of faith? Well, our guest today is Steve Klein, who is the pastor now of Hope Chapel Ko'olau in Aikahi. Has experienced what it's like to be in that no man's land. God did stuff. He got married. He's going to share with us how he met his wife and some other things that took place related to business where God revealed himself. You're listening to the Good Life Warrior Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm grateful that you're with us today. You know, the Lord loves you. He cares about you. You are in the center of his heart. You are the apple of his eye. But will you respond to him? That's the question. In fact, to you might be tuning in right now to hear more about our program, to get this program in its entirety for free. You can go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get that podcast. To find out more about our show, again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out about Pastor Steve and his ministry, hcko'olau.org, hcko'olau.org. Well, Pastor Steve, no man's land of faith, there you are. What happened? What did God do? How did you meet Hiroko, your wife, and talk to us about the business?
Okay, so for 10 years then, about I didn't go back to the drugs. I kept that new life God gave me, but I just kind of lived for myself. You know, I was content just to take care of myself. And I met my wife at Studebaker's one night, and we had talked and danced, but that was it. But I happened to see her about a month later on the bus. I was working at UH. And I had just graduated, still working there, and she was attending there. And we met each other on the bus. I asked her out, and she agreed, and it kind of went from there. And I'll be honest, I couldn't have foreseen, she is from Japan, that I would ever marry a girl from Japan. But as I got to know her, her character, it just kind of won me over. She was really a special person. And within 3 months, I proposed. And she agreed, and it kind of went from there. So our plan was then we're going to move to Japan for a little while after we got married, which we did, and our son was born there. And after a year and a half about, we moved back. And when we came back, I had a good friend, Len Yokoyama, who I was friends with for years, and he proposed that we open a business together. One thing we had in common, I'd worked in Kaimuki before I got married at a comic book store, Gecko Books. Mm-hmm. That's how I knew Len. And so when I came back from Japan, he said, let's open our own comic book store, to which I agreed. So we opened up the business, but I wasn't a bit, Len kept his job, but just was involved in the business, but I ran it. And I'm not a businessman, as quickly proved to be true, because the business struggled. Now, I have a young family. By this point, I have two young children. And I needed to make a living for my kids. And it drove me again in my life to desperation because I couldn't solve this problem on my own. I did my best, but I just didn't know how to do it. So around this time, God sent a man, started to come to my store as a customer, and we became friends. He would talk to me. His name was Scott Plant, who's actually from Arkansas, brought to Hawaii to be a youth pastor at a church here. But he would talk to me about God, not preach at me, but just share about God. And my heart began to be open again because I'm in desperation. And so I opened my heart again to God. I began to pray. I began to put into practice that belief. I got to a point where I felt strongly God saying to me, do you really believe this or not? If you do, you got to start acting in accordance with that. You have to start putting into practice evidence of faith. So I had some questionable things in my store, some adult type of things, because I was desperate to make money. I didn't really want to sell them, but I was desperate to make money. So I knew I had to get rid of those. I felt called to start giving to God financially. So all I could afford at that time, I gave $5 a week. That's where I started. And my thought at that time was, as I began to trust God and do my part and step out in faith and give financially, God was going to bless the business. And I was expecting business to boom. This is God. God can do anything. And so I was waiting for that cash register to fill up and spill over. And that didn't happen. And I got kind of upset at God, quite honestly. That God, you know, I'm doing my part. I did what you asked me to do. I stepped out in faith. Why aren't you doing your part?
I'm applying the formula.
That's right. And I remember he finally got my attention, I guess, because he told me, you don't need more money. You need to manage the money you have better. And so that kind of changed my whole mindset. And I began to be very open on how to run a business. I hadn't done that before. I didn't know anything about it. And God taught me a lot about managing my business. And I had to do things that were very challenging, but made business sense. So, for example, my kids were young. And I was staying open till 9 o'clock. I was the one that worked at the store. So by the time I got home, my kids were in bed. And I felt very strongly God told me, close earlier so that you can be home for dinner. Now, it didn't make business sense in a way because I needed those 3 hours. But when I really looked at it, I didn't make much money after 6 o'clock anyway. So I just closed that earlier. I was at home to be with my family and have dinner. And things didn't totally collapse. And I just began to manage things better to the point that my gross sales went down for 5 years. But my net income began to go up because I managed things better. And it was only by God's grace that he taught me how to do that. If he had just given me more money, I wouldn't have managed it any better. So he told me I had enough just to manage what I had well. And that's what I had learned to do.
Incredible lessons. Steve, we always want, well, maybe I should speak for myself and not put our listener in there. It's a pattern. You know, don't we live in a culture that just grooms us to want more and want it fast and not even really pay a price for it? And it devalues so many things, including process and the importance of management. So there you are. You're learning this lesson that the Lord has taught you over the course of time. What did it do to your relationship with the Lord?
Well, it grew. It grew beyond where it ever was in those first 2 years when I became a Christian, because I was beginning to understand what it really means to be a Christian. And when I had first become a Christian and I experienced the presence of God, and remember, for the first previous 3 years, I was getting high every day. And so my understanding of Christianity was, you're getting high. You're just getting high on God without the drugs. And so, but that feeling doesn't last, because that's not Christianity. That's not the relationship with God. It's not based on a feeling. So I began to learn in this time what it really meant to be a Christian, and what was involved and what was expected of me. That God wanted a disciple. You know, he didn't just want a follower who experienced this good feeling. He wanted somebody that was invested and involved. And so I began to see how I needed to do that. And the desperation of my heart, because I felt like it weighed heavy on me that I had left God. And those 10 years were wasted in a sense that I could have been doing ministry. I could have been doing what God called me to do, were wasted. And I was very comforted by that scripture that God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And so what I really desperately wanted to do was, nothing was going to hold me back. I was going to get involved. And I remember I started going to Hope Chapel Kaneohe because a friend recommended it. So we started going there, and I told the men's pastor, I said, I'll volunteer. I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm available during the day because my business opened later. In the morning, I can help you. Just tell me what you want me to do. And he had scheduled to meet me at the office one day. And I get there and they said, well, he's not here. He's on Maui. So he had totally forgotten that he had made this appointment with me. Now, in the past, what I would have done, I said, this guy, you know, he blew me off. I'm blowing him off. Mm-hmm. But there's no way I was going to let that happen. Nothing was going to stop me. So I went the next week. And I was there. I said, I'm here to help. And I just wanted to give. I wanted to give because God had restored me. And I wanted to show my appreciation that he had allowed me, though I'd been so foolish, he brought me back in as though nothing had happened in many ways. So I wanted so much to give back to him. Now, the hard thing at that time was when we got married, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't tell my wife that. And so as I start to go to church, now this is a challenge for her. As you had mentioned earlier, now there's this third person mixed in there that she didn't sign on for, but now she has to deal with. And she's a great wife. I said, you know, I want to go to church. She said, okay, I'll go with you. She didn't believe it, but if you're going, I'm going to go, she said. And the concession was we went to the earliest possible service so that we'd still have our Sunday as a family. And I said, that's fine. But I limited what I did so it wouldn't impact the family and she could be okay with it. But for 5 years, it went on like that. And it was a real challenge for her.
Something took place over the course of that time. It's not uncommon. It's not always that people get married and they're both believers. Very often, one is a believer or one is a stronger believer. Sometimes one is a believer, the other one, they get married and they're not believers. And then one becomes a believer and then the other one is like, hey, what happened here? You know, and then like in your case, it was sort of like a covert faith. You didn't even reveal. And what a shock, what a surprise. But God can work even in that. That is one of the most incredible things about the Lord, is he takes discombobulated situations, off balance, the stuff don't fit, and the Lord somehow works when we surrender to him. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, more with Pastor Steve Klein. He's a senior pastor of Hope Chapel Ko'olau in Aikahi. He's going to share more. And one of the things I'd like for him to do is to pray for someone who may be in a discombobulated relationship moment in life. Maybe somebody, as I said earlier, is feeling an overwhelming sense of darkness and hopelessness. And you have a dancing thought. It's not a nice dance. It's a gloomy, joyless, dark dance of saying, just end it. But here's an intervention moment. God sends Pastor Steve to say, no, wait, there's more. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So Pastor Steve Klein, before he became Pastor Steve Klein, is married, he's a businessman, his faith is being renewed, and his relationship with his wife, they have a good marriage, but she didn't marry a guy that was going to be full on, gung-ho for Jesus. And that added a few complexities, but God was able to work some unique things through with some unique lessons that I think would be great for all of us to hear. He's going to share that. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Steve Klein is my guest. And to access this program for free, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Hope Chapel Ko'olau, hcko'olau.org. So, take us back. You are reaching out to your wife, Hiroko. What did God tell you at that time during your life?
Well, as I said, for me to be restored to God was like a full force thing. I wanted to make up for the years that I'd lost. And I very much wanted, because my wife and I were close, we had a good marriage, I wanted her to share in that. And I think at first I did try to preach to her, but I felt very clearly God told me, don't. It's not your job to preach to her. That's, you need to be a good husband. If this Christianity thing is real, and I believed it was, then it should make me a better husband. And that's what she should see from me. But as her husband, as her partner, it wasn't my job to try and preach to her. And so, it was a challenge at times, but I didn't. I just was tried to be a good husband and let others do the preaching and the ministering.
It's convicting because our instincts are to preach. Maybe, I don't know, because it's easier to preach than to live. And we want so much for that to happen. I think there's also probably a form of control. We want them to become a certain way, as a husband wants a wife or a wife wants her husband. So it can be a subtle way. It could be even a little weird at times because you're preaching and you're trying to do things to get them to be a certain way, but it's not taking. And in reality, we're pushing them further away from the Lord. It's the very thing we don't want to happen, but then it begins to happen. You, on the other hand, learned this from God early on, and you saw the results of it. What happened?
Well, and there was a point, too, where I wanted it so bad. It was 5 years, really, that I was going to church, and she was not a Christian. And I really got frustrated at one point and said, God, why isn't this happening? I need her. I want her to be a Christian. And I sensed very clearly God told me, as much as you want it, I want it more than you do. And that convicted me. God made it clear, hey, I'm working on this. I'm leading her towards this. So you need to just relax. I'm at work and I'm going to make it happen. And so, that kind of helped me to calm down, I guess, a little bit. Internally, I was really struggling with this, but I got a peace that it's going to happen. So what had happened, we were going to Hope Chapel Kaneo, and our involvement was very minimal. I didn't do anything extra really other than go to church and help when I could. That didn't affect the family, but I felt the call to join Hope Chapel Olamana when it planted with Guy Capelliella. And the involvement grew on my part. I became one of the core staff there, and she was okay with that, you know, a little more involvement, but she still wasn't a Christian. But she was struggling with that, all the involvement we had, but she participated. She's a great wife. But they had a women's retreat after the first year, and she went because she made a friend. That's how it happened. We went to a church event, and somebody talked to her. They became friends. And somebody said, hey, are you going to go to a women's retreat? Because I'll room with you. You know, somebody reached out and made a friend with her, and that was the connecting point. So she went to the retreat. She didn't really want to be a Christian, and she expressed this frustration to the women's pastor there. And the women's pastor said, okay, just pray this prayer. And she kind of led her, didn't give her a choice. She just kind of let her say these words and led her in the sinner's prayer. And she said, okay, it's done. You're a Christian. And that's what happened. And she came back home, and I mean, she wasn't even smiling. She wasn't even happy. And she said, I have something to tell you. I said, okay, what? And we went in the bedroom. She wanted to talk to me privately. And she said, I did it. I became a Christian. And, you know, she kind of did it reluctantly, but she did it. And for her, because she was a good person, I mean, she genuinely is a very moral and upright person. That's the part she struggled with. Why am I, who's so careful to do what's right, going to go to hell? But she just cast that aside, said, okay, I'm going to believe in Jesus. And since then, she's grown and is a solid Christian to this day. But so her conversion was much different than mine. Mine was out of desperation and radical, and hers wasn't out of desperation. It was out of more like, okay, I'm just going to do this. She made the decision. I'm going to do it. And that's the way it happened. And her transition was much slower, much more gradual.
The Lord works in people's lives where they are. You're a testament of that. Someone today, Pastor Steve, is, as we said earlier, realizing there's a darkness, there's an oppression, there's an utter hopelessness. But God sent you here to minister to them. Could you say a word of encouragement to someone who is in that place right now and pray?
I would love to, Danny, and I thank you for that opportunity. And if you're in that place, in many ways, that point of desperation is the best place to be, because that's what led me to give my heart to God. As you mentioned earlier, if I hadn't been there, I probably wouldn't have come to God. You know, God allowed me to feel the fruit of my labors, of my sin. And that's what drove me to Him. And so it can be a good place to be if it leads us to Him. And so
because sometimes people feel like, I'm too far gone. How could that be? Is there someone that cares enough about me or has the power enough to turn a broken life around? Well, you're saying that it happened to you. Someone might ask, could it really happen to me?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, just feeling that feeling, wondering if you're too far gone, is a sign that you're not. The person who's really too far gone isn't thinking about God, doesn't care about God. They're so immersed in selfishness. They don't care about anybody else, and they want to stay there. That's the true point of where you're without hope. But if you're concerned, if you're worried, if you're too far gone, you're definitely not.
Lead us in a prayer.
Father, we just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to share the story that you've given me. And Father, there's other people who are in a place of desperation right now. I pray that they would cry out to you, and you will answer. You'll prove yourself real. You have a plan and a purpose for everyone, Father, and good things lie ahead. It may seem dark now, but there's hope tomorrow. Your mercies are new every morning. So I pray, Father, they would latch on to that hope, the hope that only can be found in you. And that they would take moment by moment their life, Father, that each moment you want to carry us through as we trust in you. And may they put their trust in you, Father. May they find their security and joy and assurance, Father, that their life, no matter what it's been up to now, can have a purpose, can have a meaning as they trust in you and allow you to work in them and work through them. So I just pray blessings on anyone right now, Father, that they would be comforted by you, encouraged by your Holy Spirit, and that they would trust in you and know the joy of having that intimacy with you, Father.
Pastor Steve, we've got just a couple minutes left. Well, maybe somebody today, like your friend did, maybe somebody today wants to open their heart to Christ. Could you lead them?
Sure. If that's where you're at, it's a simple thing to do. It's what we were made for. God made us for fellowship with Him. And so He's waiting. It says He stands at the door of our heart and knocks. It doesn't say He kicks the door in. It says He knocks. He wants us to open and allow Him to come in. And if we'll do that, God will come in and dwell with us. He'll live with us in intimacy. The Bible calls our relationship with God a marriage. It's an intimate one. And that's what God wants with us. And so if you're in that place today, you don't know what to do, that's okay. It's a simple thing. You just say, open your heart to God. Say, God, come in. It doesn't have to be said in a certain way. It doesn't have to be used. You don't have to use certain words. You simply have to open up your heart and express yourself. And as Danny gave me the chance this morning to share what happened to me, tell God where you are. If you're messed up, say, God, you're messed up and desperate. That's the point where God can come and help you. Be honest. God knows the truth anyway. So just be honest with Him and open your heart, and God will come in. God will bless you. You will experience what He calls a new birth, being born again.
I hope that as you've been listening to this show, that you realize that God does love you and He knows you. And if in this time you just open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I bring myself before you, just as Pastor Steve said, and forgive me of my sins. You died on the cross for my sins. Lord, come into my heart. I surrender my life into your hands. Make me the person you designed me to be. Mm-hmm. I come before you now with all humility and brokenness. Take me and have your way in my life. And may I bring you all the glory and honor that is due to you. Oh God, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I hope that you've been encouraged by these rare life story insights from my friend Pastor Steve Klein. You know what? God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And as I just led in a prayer, our encouragement is that you would open your heart to Christ, because that's where the breakthroughs in our lives take place, and we so desperately need Him. To find out more about our show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this podcast and other programs. As I always say, you know, take them, share them with a family member or a friend. And we have some other resources there for you as well. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support and want to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. Here's a scripture for today. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Well, Pastor Steve knows what that's all about. Letting the Lord build His house, His family, His business, now His ministry. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Pastor Steve Klein. Find out more at hcko'olau.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.